Are we going to start?
I think that's a good start. I'm happy with that. I like the way that
started.
Well,
it's different. It's something we don't normally do. We're trying to shake things up. We meant to do that.
Right.
And we might do it again if we want to.
We don't know. We haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. It is the 18th of October. What's happening, everybody?
Not much.
Muggs, put my headphones where they're supposed to be, if you would. Muggs is king of the freeze. I'll tell you that.
Well.
Man, when stuff doesn't go the way it's supposed to.
At least he isn't running around panicking, screaming.
No. But
he's deer in the headlights, guys.
He's just frozen.
What happened? Don't know. Did we lose?
Yeah, we lost Bean.
We lost Bean.
I'm not exactly sure
right
why.
Right then.
But then Beer Mug, to his credit, just stands. And so we go, what's happening? And he says, and then we say, hey, Beer Mug, what's happening? And he goes, because he won't move. He's literally frozen.
His eyes are just very, very big and staring at the board.
So then I get up and I move over and I say, move out of the way. And then he's like, so I had to turn on my own mic and put on my headphones and
shove him over.
He's amazing that way. A lot of people would panic, not him.
Now,
he may go into a semi-coma state. He may be in a coma for all I know. I have not seen signs of life of him.
He actually panics. I think the thing is, it's like when you have Parkinson's and you get to a point where it gets past a certain point, you actually freeze in a way.
Right. We're talking about Beer Mug's
freezing
complex.
So I think with Beer Mug, it's like his panic gets so high that he freezes.
But, like, I'm the only one in the room saying anything to him first.
His mouth won't work.
I said, what's going on? And he said, and then Lisa said, what's going on? And Muggs was, I don't know. It's a fascinating thing to watch.
Yet, when there's nothing to panic about.
Right.
He does talk, and he talks in a way that makes it sound like there's a safe heading toward his head. Like, I'm going to be dead in 3 seconds. He's like, we're going to McDonald's.
You know, it's the most bizarre thing.
Yeah, we've been fine and connected. I've been talking to Beer Mug for 20 minutes, which is the worst 20 minutes of my life. But then 5 seconds before it went on the air, we got disconnected somehow. So we can pretend none of this happened and start the show right now if you want.
Take two.
Hispanic owned and operated.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
This is a reminder. Hope everybody got their flu shots. And Rite Aid, in a lot of places, are actually giving them out like $20-$25. Just show up and you get a flu shot. But you got to pay $20 or $25. But it's first come, first serve.
94.3. It's KMGX Magic FM, the station that's growing faster than ever. And that, of course, is thanks to you and your friends. Lisa May here. It's been awfully nice. I will be out of here at 3 o'clock. And, of course, Bob Taylor comes in. So watch out. He'll be taking you through right till 7. So have a great afternoon and keep it here at Magic FM.
And now,
Lisa, let him loose. Shake them for freedom, shake them for freedom, let them loose, let them hang out. And shake them for freedom, Lisa, come on, Lisa, make.
Our feature presentation.
I love to hear Lisa on Magic.
That's my
too.
FM voice.
That
Thank
is
you
FM
for
voice.
Listening.
That's your phone sex voice. Yeah.
Yes, what would you like me to do to you?
Bob's coming up at 3, so watch out.
Watch out for Bob. He's a funny one.
That guy can be nutty.
Oh, my God. Bob at a party, you wouldn't believe it.
It does sound like you took a downer. They gave you lewds before.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
What kind of music were you playing on Magic FM, Lisa?
I am trying to
Was it like soft adult contemporary
yeah.
music?
Yeah, that was it.
Like Mariah Carey and stuff like that?
It just cracked me up. This station was in the valley, and it had the music on giant reel-to-reels.
Mm-hmm.
And there were four of them, and when one would run out, you'd have to run out and change it. And one would fire, and then another would fire, and there was no way to know which song was going to go next.
Nice.
And often you would play the same artist, different song usually, but same artist back-to-back.
Sweet.
Happened all the time. There was just...
And they had no fix for that.
Nothing. I mean, it just fired, and wherever it was, that's what played. And
love it.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
That's all I got.
Thursday morning, Kevin and Bean Show. What do you got, Bean?
Do we have time? I didn't think we had time. Sure. I thought we already burned it up. All right. I love this man so much. His name is Ramjeet Raghav. He is 96 years old.
Ramjeet does good work.
Ramjeet Raghav, 90. He's obviously Indian. Why do you suppose Mr. Raghav is in the news today? What do you suppose Mr. Raghav did at 96 that is getting him some notice?
Got a girl pregnant?
That's yes.
What?
Had a baby.
Yay! Yay!
Just had his second child with his 52-year-old wife, Shashuntala Devi.
That's impressive for her, too.
Yes, she's 52. He's 96. On October 5th, so just last week, he became the world's oldest new father, according to the Times of India. By the way, Mr. Raghav was a bachelor who says that he practiced celibacy for his entire life before meeting his wife, Devi, 10 years ago.
Wow.
So he was 86 when he lost his virginity. After staying together, we decided to extend our family and aspired for two sons. With God's grace, our wish has been fulfilled. Yes, he had his first baby in November of 2010. He had a son then, and he had another son this month. Now he has the two boys that he wanted. I feel lucky to have two healthy sons. It will be tough, but I'm a happy man. He thinks he can have more. Quote, I'm very capable of having more babies, said the 96-year-old, who lives on a diet of milk, butter, and almonds. However, he's decided due to financial reasons he is done fathering, so he has asked his wife to become sterilized.
That's nice of him.
Okay.
She's 52, and he wants her to be sterilized because he doesn't want to have any more kids. He's 96.
Yeah.
And think of this. When she was 46.
Yes.
Or 42, she said, yes, that 86-year-old is the man for me.
He's the one.
Yes,
he
that's
is
right.
The one.
That guy
the
that's
love
never had sex.
My life.
I mean, if you look at him, he's definitely really old, but it's hard to tell with some old people. They say he's 96. He could be 70, and I would believe it.
Right.
It's hard to tell. But is it – really is it – we may have to ask Dr. Drew, does your sperm still work at 96?
Well, his apparently do.
If you're capable of having sex, can you father a baby? I mean, I guess so. He says, I've asked my wife to be sterilized. I don't want any more children. We can't afford it. I want my boys to go to school and study. I will do my best to give them what they need in life. It's funny, Kevin, because we always talk about these people who decide to have kids so late in life. You're basically – you know, you're Larry King or somebody. You're basically saying, hey, little kid, you're going to grow up fatherless.
Right. That's a terrible decision.
Because I'm going to die when you're in junior high school or whatever it
is,
right?
If I make it that far. This guy's 96.
He's 96. And will this kid even ever know him, or is he a miracle
of modern medicine?
Oh, my God.
And you're out.
And cut. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Well, let's do that.
On the program today, we have Dr. Drew. We're going to ask him about a 96-year-old father.
Okay.
What a great idea that is for this guy. And thank God, because, you know, the population of India has been at risk.
Yes, it's been dying down.
We have Michael Snyder from TV Guide. He's the editor. We have with TV's Hits and Misses this
Excellent.
Season. We have How Old Were You When You Quit Wetting the Bed? Beer Mug was 11. And had a pee alert.
Alarm.
Oh, he had
yes.
an alarm that would go off every time he peed the bed. A little closer look at Trapped in the Closet, the new chapters,
oh,
Mark Kelly.
Very exciting.
Which, as you know or may not know, we are obsessed with. We also have a brand new internet roundup for you.
Okay.
And we have Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage, coming up just after the top of the hour. We'll take a break. We will come back with Ralph. He's here, and he's going to do the Showbiz Beat.
Thursday morning, Ralph joins us. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Hey, Johnny, how about a beer, huh? Come here, you bastard.
Ralph has a teddy bear.
Oh, I like to do to her.
Ted.
Some might call it dirty quasi.
Not just a teddy bear, it's Ted.
Yeah.
It's Ted. It's a talking Ted.
It is a talking Ted.
This is the first release. They're not even in stores yet. They're going to be available for Christmas to buy your kid the lovely bear. Talks like this.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Good talk, Coach. Thanks.
I don't want your kid saying that to you.
So if they had known it would become one of the most successful comedy movies of all time, they would have had this merchandise lined up ready to go when the thing was in theaters, right?
Yeah, but now they'll have it ready for the Christmas
for
season.
Christmas,
which is
yeah.
nice. It's like it's huge. It's like 2.5 feet tall, and he presses his hand and...
I don't. I look like Snuggles' accountant.
Snuggly,
he is very snuggly. He's lovely.
He won't stop talking, though.
No, he won't stop talking.
Is there a Ralph Garman plush toy from the film Ted as well?
Yeah, it's right here. Why don't you reach in my pants and squeeze it because it talks.
A lot smaller than I thought it would be.
Bite me.
Hey, we got great news.
Yes.
You know, I've been so excited since yesterday we announced that R. Kelly's coming back with his urban operetta, as he calls it, Trapped in the Closet.
Yeah!
It's wonderfully awful.
We will be dissecting Chapter 23 later on in the show today, which is basically sort of a preview, a teaser, if you will, of the upcoming 20 episodes that we're going to be seeing starting the day after Thanksgiving. And we were talking about people who have missed it so far. There are 22 episodes out there you may or may not have seen. Kevin mentioned it is available on DVD if you want to pick it up. Or you can just set your DVRs for the IFC channel, which will be running a Trapped in the Closet marathon on Thanksgiving Day.
Awesome. Starting Best holiday ever.
Starting at 10 a.m. on the IFC channel, you will be able to watch Trapped in the Closet in its spectacular entirety. All 22 episodes run back to back. So I wanted to give people a heads up if they want to start thinking ahead. It's not even that far ahead. Thanksgiving's like tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, no.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Halloween.
Right.
Then Saturday is Thanksgiving. Sunday, of course, Christmas, and then Monday is New Year's Eve. So it's a busy week coming up.
I believe Thanksgiving is 5 weeks from today, kids.
It's crazy. Tragic news. Emily Maynard and Jeff Holm of The Bachelorette apparently are not going to get married.
Oh, if they can't
Can you believe
it.
That? What are the odds that someone who finds true love on The Bachelorette wouldn't end up getting married?
99%.
That's right. Turns out it's about 99%. They rarely get married. But Emily and Jeff with one F have announced they're splitting up. So,
two of the actors, Ralph, from Trapped in the Closet, who play characters in that soap opera,
yes,
are married now.
What?
Which gives them the exact same success rate as the Bachelor franchise.
It's craziness. Megan Fox.
Yes.
Has welcomed a bouncing baby boy into the world.
Oh, that ain't right.
Yeah. She is the proud mama of a little boy named Noah. She and her husband, Brian Austin Green, welcomed Noah into the world on September the 27th. Doctors say it is the first male ever to want to leave Megan Fox's vagina. Isn't that something?
Megan Fox, oh, Megan Fox!
Megan says the baby is healthy, happy, and perfect, and she is forever grateful to God for allowing me to know this kind of boundless, immaculate love. Okay, relax a little bit. Relax. It's okay. You had a baby. We're all very happy for you, but why don't you just... As far as I know, three wise men didn't show up with frankincense and myrrh.
They may have.
At your manger.
Yeah, you just had sex. That's all that happened here.
That's all that happened.
And by the way, do you guys remember when we first found out that Brian Austin Green, David from Beverly Hills 90210, was even in a photograph with Megan Fox? We said, oh my God, how did that happen?
Right.
Here they've been together for like 10 years or something, married.
And then she became
now.
A superstar, and we're like, well, that's not going to last. She's going
right.
to trade up because now she's one of the hottest names in Hollywood.
She can, yeah.
She's going to end up with, you know, in Lake Como with the Clune dog.
Exactly.
But no, she's true to her man. Got to give her
Shocking.
That. Got to give her that.
Together.
Kevin, of course, is still courting Scarlett Johansson now that she's single.
She's reaching out to me. She just hasn't gotten through my people yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Your people are in the way, are
they?
They
just, they're trying to block us.
Well, you better make your move, Kev, because she's got even more gentleman callers these days. I mentioned previous that she was seeing her old boyfriend, Jared Leto, at the Democratic National Convention. Now the New York Post says she has been seen both with artist Domingo Zapata. You can't battle a guy named Domingo Zapata. That guy will pull a sword on you, put his mask on, and carve a Z into your chest. I'm Zapata! Next thing you know, you're bleeding out a Z. And also Sam Rockwell.
Well, what do those two guys have that I don't?
Looks and talent.
Oh.
Sam Rockwell is one of my favorite actors in the world. He's never sort of broken through to become a star.
He's great.
Every time he's in something, everything he's in gets better because he's
totally.
He's in the
totally.
Seven Psychopaths now. He's hilarious in that film.
That's sort of like my participation in anything.
Yes, when you add Kevin to the mix, right. Everything gets better
right.
or more incomprehensible. One of the
so,
other.
Does your personal assistant, Linus, does he just have to make up excuses every time Scarlett Johansson calls the house about where you are?
Well, he has his assistant handle her.
Oh, I see.
Right.
No way. Get real.
And we did mention that Halloween's right around the corner. Fascinating list about famous Halloween movies on BuzzFeed.com today. They have 35 little-known facts about the Halloween movies. I'll just pick out some of the top ones. There's about 10 of them listed here. Let me give you some of the highlights.
All right.
The barf in The Exorcist. Remember when little Reagan has the she's possessed by the devil?
Sure.
And she's and all that green barf comes out?
Right.
Anderson's split pea soup.
Is that right?
That's what
really
that
is?
Actually was.
That's it was, all it was?
It was Anderson's split pea soup. Apparently they tried Campbell's but they didn't like it. The texture wasn't right, but Anderson's was just right. So next time you're in Buellton and you pull into Anderson's Split Pea and you nestle down with a hot bowl, just think Exorcist barf, won't you?
Ugh.
Scream, the movie Scream, of course, which launched a very successful franchise, was originally known as, the actual title for the film was Scary Movie.
Really?
Scary Movie. Robin Williams was initially cast in the role of Jack in The Shining instead of Jack Nicholson.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
But Stanley Kubrick had a second thought when he watched Mork and Mindy and thought he was too psychotic. That's a true story. Robert De Niro was then offered the role, but Stanley Kubrick thought he wasn't psychotic enough.
Wow.
And then they found, of course, Jack Nicholson, and Mr. Torrance was never the same. And, of course, this is a famous one. A lot of people know this one. The mask worn by Mike Myers in Halloween, the famous Halloween franchise.
Yep.
That mask, that Halloween mask he wears, you know who that is?
No.
It's a William Shatner mask.
What?
Yeah, it's a Captain Kirk mask.
What?
They were desperate in the production to find the cheapest mask they could at the Halloween store, and it happened to be a Captain Kirk William Shatner mask that they spray-painted white. And so every mask after that has been modeled off of that. So here's your trivia for Halloween. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Tyler Posey from Teen Wolf is 21 years old. Bristol Palin from Dancing with the Stars and her own reality show Life's a Trip. See, because that's her kid's name.
Oh.
22 years old. Zac Efron celebrates his 25th birthday today. Wow, I'm stunned by the silence coming over the airwaves.
That old man?
Oh, I see. You moved on to the Biebs now? Frida Pinto from 20,
yes!
Is Slumdog Millionaire, of course, and The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, 28 years old. Jean-Claude Van Damme is 52. Chuck Lorre, who we just talked to yesterday.
Who knew?
Creator of Two and a Half Men and Mike and Molly and Big Bang Theory is his too, right? He turns 60 years old today.
He loves the poop talk. That's what we learned about Mr.
You really ingratiated yourself yesterday with him, yes. Legendary Hall of Fame football coach Mike Ditka, 73 years old today. He looks pretty good for 73.
Yeah, no kidding.
Ditka. Dawn Wells, who played Marianne on Gilligan's Island, which launched the legendary debate Ginger, or she is 74 years old today. And Chuck Berry, legendary singer, guitarist, man who some say was one of the architects of rock and roll, 86 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Seems like it's been years, but Ralph Garman will be in here in a couple of minutes to recap for us the first 800 chapters of Trapped in the Closet as we prepare for new episodes being unleashed the day after Thanksgiving. I can't wait for that. First, though, speaking of music, I think that I love Bob Dylan in direct proportion, Kevin, to how much you dislike Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
I think I'm way over here on the scale of how much I am crazy about the man, and you're way over here with how much you either don't care or don't have any interest in him at all.
The problem is that I didn't care for his music. So I was never into them.
Right.
But like Michael Jackson or somebody else, they're in your face all the time, and they're on TV shows, and they're everywhere, and you just learn to dislike them.
Well, he's 71 years old or 72 now, something like that. He just came out with a new album last month called Tempest. We talked about that. Now he's
102 if he's one day old. There's no way he's 72.
Now he is back in the news. Because his friend Johnny Depp is launching a new publishing imprint. He is going to be behind, he's part of a company now that's going to be making books. And Bob Dylan is going to be the subject of the first book that is coming out on the new label, I guess. He's has been interviewed and will continue to be interviewed by another author named Douglas Brinkley, who, by the way, is the guy who wrote the book that the Spike Lee miniseries on Katrina was based on, if you ever saw that. He's the guy who wrote that original report on Katrina. Anyway, the book is called The Unraveled Tales of Bob Dylan. Now, what's your understanding? This is going to be basically a history. It's interviews about Bob and his life and his music, right?
His life, his career, his music, the whole thing from the beginning of time. Yeah.
Sounds horrible. It sounds fantastic, and I'm so glad that Mr. Dylan is going to be telling these stories before he's gone and we have to hear about him from somebody
else. He's gone, my friend.
We wanted to find out more about this, and of course, we've got a great relationship with Bob Dylan. He joins us back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, Kevin and Bean.
Yes, sir.
On the radio at Bunsen Horizon.
I could not agree with you more. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
The book that we were just discussing is going to be called Infinitum Nihil. What's that mean, Bob?
That's the name of the Johnny Depp publishing company.
Oh, it's not the name of the book. It's the name of the production company. Okay. All
right. Got to read the story before the bit.
I wasn't doing a bit. I was just interviewing Bob Dylan about his new book.
The title of the book is The Unraveled Tale of Bob Dylan.
The Untamed.
Unrivaled.
Bob and Demi.
Unrivaled.
Unrivaled.
Rye.
Unraveled?
Oh,
unraveled. I thought I had it.
You didn't.
I was patting myself on the back.
All right, it's a damn waste of time.
I heard that.
It's the unraveled what, Bob?
Oh. I've never had to work so hard.
Well,
The unraveled.
Tased. Head?
Is it tased like don't tase me, bro?
The unraveled tased.
Head. Okay. No. The unraveled.
Tail. Tails.
Tail.
Okay.
Tail.
Of.
Bob Dylan.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good.
Three minutes.
All right.
You got the title already.
Where can I pick it up?
It's going to be in the Bookstore 2015.
In the Bookstore 2015. Okay.
2015? Why are we hearing about it now?
Good.
How long does it take you to write a book?
Well, it's not the writing. It's the audio version.
No.
I'm recording it right now.
Oh, you're recording the audio version.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only thing I have to do, take.
Oh, great.
The Unraveled of Don Jimmy by Douglas Zinke. Read by Don Jimmy.
Oh, sounds all right.
In the old day in Minnesota, long gone, the famous sailor, many old and lean.
Bob, I don't, I'm sorry, Bob, no one is going to be able to understand what you're saying in that audiobook. You're going to have to take that again from the top.
All right, well, the Unraveled Tale of the Dream, written by Damon Brinkley, read by Bob Newman. In the goddamn back in Minnesota, I'm alone, he gambled all the time and dead. I'm sailing on the fine, going on the sail. The music was early in the air.
I might just get the book. I think I may just get the book and read it for myself.
Well, I don't know. I think you're in the audio version, because I am hardly sound of penny.
Huh? You're what?
I'm going to do it, I'm dead.
Anyway, nope. I got nothing.
I'm going to record it naked.
Okay.
Listen all week as K-Rock continues to hook you up with passes for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. We've got them for you this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Dr. Drew will be here. We got a brand new internet roundup. In our studio now, it's Ralph Pimp Lucius Garman. Hey, Ralph.
Yeah.
I couldn't be more happy about this.
Don't forget, Pimp Lucius has a stutter.
Oh, I forgot about the stutter.
Yeah. See, this is why we had to have you in, Ralph, because you, back in the day when R. Kelly started releasing his soap opera of music called Trapped in the Closet, you were keeping us informed. Like every couple of weeks when a new song would drop, you'd come in and you'd run it down for us and recap and keep the story straight.
Yes.
I got to be honest. This is like a movie sequel that's come out so long after the original that I don't even remember who the characters are or where we are in the story.
Oh, Bean, you're such a disappointment on every
level. I'm sorry. It seems like there's a lot of characters. It'd be like trying to sum up General Hospital in a paragraph.
Remember Sylvester and Kathy, how we started off with the two of them being in bed together? It turns out that they're not with each other. Sylvester's got his own wife, and Kathy's married to Rufus.
Who was trapped in the closet?
Well, Kevin, we all have closets. It's an analogy. It's, right. It's a metaphor. It's not literally a closet. Sure, there's a midget in a cabinet at one point.
Okay.
Bridget is having an affair on James the cop with a midget named Big Man.
I thought the cop was Chuck.
No. Chuck.
Sorry.
Chuck is the man who's having the affair with Rufus. The pastor.
Oh.
They're having a gay affair. So, right. In essence, they are in the closet as well, the metaphorical closet, if you will.
See, this
and
is
Sylvester, when he first wakes up with Kathy, when Rufus is coming up the stairs, he has to hide. And where does he hide? In the closet, because they're five stories up. So, throughout the story, Kevin, the through line, really, of this modern opera is that we all have closets of various kinds or another. And then when Randolph is revealed to have the package, as AIDS is referred to in this operetta, even he must hide that fact. So he, in essence, has his own closet. We all have closets.
Wow.
I forgot about the package.
This is so deep.
Look, I could break it down for you, but I think it'd be much more interesting to have sort of a quick recap video. We'll play the audio for you. It's about a minute long. Kind of catch you up on what happened in the first 22 chapters.
Pastor Rufus Lones comes home to find his wife been sleeping around with Sylvester. Oh, sh**. Sylvester's cell phone rings. He comes out of the closet pointing his Beretta. Oh, sh**. Then they go through this thing, arguing, fussing, and time goes by. And then Kathy finds out about Rufus' lover, Chuck, the gay guy. Oh, sh**. And then Sylvester calls home, never knowing that a man would answer his phone. Oh, sh**. Then he got to his house, bust up in it, to find his wife, Gwendolyn. She was s**ting around with this sausage-head-ass policeman. And then they got into a fight, wrestling over a gun. The Gwen screaming, stop, next thing you know, they shot her brother, Twan. Just a little, he was barely hurt. Now here come Rose, the nosy neighbor. She thinks she's the neighborhood savior. And then things got real twisted. Oh, police got home in his kitchen. Oh, to find his wife Bridget is pregnant by this midget.
That's real.
Yeah.
That exists.
I forgot about Rosie.
That is crazy. Rosie the Nosy Neighbor.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, and then Roxanne and Tina are lesbian lovers, and Rosie the Nosy Neighbor, she's the one who gets the phone call from Randolph, finding out that the pastor has the package. And, I'm telling you, it's just, and no one is sleeping with just their own partner. That's everyone correct. Is sleeping with everyone, everyone else in this story.
Now, you told us yesterday that not only are new chapters coming out, as many as 20 starting the day after Thanksgiving, but yeah. that R. Kelly already has in his mind mapped out 100 new chapters.
He says, I don't know if it's a literal 100 or just uh-huh. sort of a metaphoric 100, but he thinks this will be, in his words, it's forever!
Love it.
Trapped in the Closet is forever.
It is forever.
It could go
what
on
do we
and on
know
and on.
About the new chapter 23 that is being teased online this week?
Well, chapter 23 has been put up, but chapter 23 is basically just a teaser trailer, sort of a prequel for everything that's going to be forthcoming in the next 20 episodes. Let's play it. It's only a couple minutes long. We'll break it down moment by moment. But it opens with a panoramic view of the city and R. Kelly sitting Masterpiece Theater style in a overstuffed chair in a smoking jacket with a large book on his lap, and he opens it up and there's pictures of all the characters there in front of him as he goes through and describes references the past. And well, here you go.
Well, if this hasn't taught you nothing else, it's taught you that everybody's got a closet and they own problems that need solving. Could this be another case? Well, what goes around comes back around.
See?
And what goes up must come
down.
Well, y'all heard the saying, y'all get the point.
Yeah.
Let me get back to the story. Cause these next chapters of Trapped in the Closet is gonna be so crazy.
Wow.
Sylvester and Gwen chilling in the bed watching TV.
Sylvester and Glenn,
no
right.
drama.
No
phone
drama.
Rings. He says hello. Somebody says Sylvester. He says, who is this? And how did you get this number?
Uh-oh.
Kathy and Rufus decides to do a little shopping downtown on Michigan.
Right.
Her phone rings again.
Another
she says,
call?
Rufus, it's those people again.
Oh, no.
He says, hang up. Hang up.
Hang up.
Hang up.
Now everything seemed to calm down between
calm down.
Big man James and Bridget.
Yeah.
Till Bridget gets a call. Someone says, we want to talk to you. She says, who is this?
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Am I going to be famous? Drawing on the corner in the front of the liquor store. Talking on his cell phone. Somebody call.
Now Bridget
what?
Gets the phone call. Everything's calmed down between Big Man James and Bridget. James is the cop. Bridget is his wife. Big Man, the midget who impregnated her.
Okay.
I think R. Kelly's kind enough to let us know that at this point everything sort of has calmed down in that triangle.
Okay.
However, Bridget gets a phone call, and she's shocked. And this is, I'm just interpreting the clues in this, what I think is going to happen. She goes, am I going to be famous? I believe Bridget is going to be the star of her own reality show. That's what I'm guessing.
Okay.
I think a Honey Boo Boo style reality show about Bridget and the Midget is forthcoming.
Can
it's
we
just
keep
my guess.
Track of a show within a show?
That's just my guess.
All right.
We'll wait and see.
Calls, he switch over and says, speak on it.
Here's Twan.
Who? Man, don't be f- with me.
What's going on with Twan? What's he?
You f- me.
I'm not asking
how
you.
Much am I getting paid?
Is he getting paid? It's
then
a criminal.
Rosie and Randolph gets a call.
Oh, Rosie and Randolph.
Then Tina and Roxanne gets a call.
Uh-oh. Another call.
Then Joey.
Yeah, hello.
Reverend Mosley.
Reverend Mosley.
Big man.
Midget.
James.
Yeah.
Pimp Blue
But yeah. There was no luck.
Everybody's getting phone calls.
I came to get in touch.
Who are they looking for?
With Chuck.
Oh!
No, you didn't.
Chuck. Where are you, Chuck?
Where are you, Chuck?
Where is Chuck?
Where are you, Chuck?
Do we have to wait for Thanksgiving to find out where Chuck is?
We're not going to know where Chuck is, I think, for some time. I don't think he's going to tell us right off the bat what happened to Chuck.
Oh, man. That is a perfect example of an entire episode of nothing happening. They're laying in bed, take a couple calls. A lot of people get calls and answer their phones, and then nothing happens.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember who has the package. I think Rufus has the package. I don't know if Chuck has the package or not.
Okay.
Even though I do believe Chuck is the bisexual lover of Rufus. So I'm just hoping that Chuck not being available is not a bad sign for Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck may have.
I'm hoping he's healthy. I'm just hoping.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like I'm ready now. I'm ready for Trapped in the Closet, episode 23, day after Thanksgiving. Looking forward to it. Thanks,
Rob.
I'm
not. I'm exhausted. I can't.
Where are you, Chuck?
By the way, looking ahead toward tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show, D.L. Hughley is going to be here. Also, Cousin Sal previews the NFL weekend, and Rachel Nichols going to be here. From Alex Cross, Rachel Nichols.
Yes, right, we know. We're here.
Oh. We love her so much.
Oh, we're so worried about you.
We need to get her a new agent.
You don't think it's a good choice for her?
Tyler Perry is hard-bitten detective Alex Cross.
Well, he may surprise us. I don't know.
Will he really?
I don't know. I've not seen him.
Will he surprise us?
It's possible.
I don't know.
It's possible.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Well, I think.
I'm going on what you're going on. I saw the trailer.
Yeah?
Maybe.
Oh.
Look, all I know is I love me some Rachel Nichols, so I'm very excited she's going to be here
that
tomorrow.
That worries me, though, that you love somebody that much, then all of a sudden everything goes south.
It always goes fine.
I'm surprised you have time to poop, Rachel Nichols.
That's always goes fine. By the way, Rachel Nichols is where Why Is the Dollar So Low originated. I think that was my first fail with Rachel Nichols.
Oh, you failed miserably that day.
Remember back in those days? Because she was smart, and I was trying to talk on her level.
Degree in economics. Why is the dollar so low?
So I'll have another shot at it. That's tomorrow right here on the World Famous Carrick. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
There's a plug we can pull somewhere, right?
I don't know.
That keeps Bean from talking?
The only reason she's coming in is to talk to me. You know that.
I thought you were talking about a permanent plug.
Well, he's not on that machine yet, but
okay.
Hope springs eternal. You know, monsters are the thing now. Monsters.
Of course.
With the werewolves and the vampires of Twilight. Mm-hmm. With, what else we got? True Blood, of course, loving the vampires there.
Yep.
We got the zombies, of course, of Walking Dead.
Right.
All the big monsters are making a comeback. Except for, who are we missing? Who haven't you seen in a while?
All the big monsters.
Frankenstein's monster?
Frankenstein's monster. Where's he been? Turns out, New Orleans.
Really? Oh.
TNT has announced a new Frankenstein series based on the novels by best-selling author Dean Koontz. In those novels, Victor Frankenstein is now in New Orleans going by the name of Victor Helios. He's 200 years old and somehow managed to survive after creating that monster who, by the way, is also moved with him to New Orleans. So as if New Orleans doesn't have enough problems, apparently Dr. Frankenstein and his monster are now living in New Orleans, and TNT will bring us that via a TV series.
All right.
Silver Sun Pickups, while we're talking about television, will be making a guest appearance on tonight's edition of Up All Night with Christina Applegate and Will Arnett. The cast, including Maya Rudolph and Rob Hubel, will wind up at a show where the band is performing a track from their latest album, Neck of the Woods. So if you're a Silver Sun Pickups fan, you're going to tune into Up All Night tonight. Elizabeth Banks has been cast in a new film. This sounds very promising to me. It's called Walk of Shame, but it's not the kind of Walk of Shame you're thinking of where, you have to walk out in front of somebody's friends after you bone them all
night. That's the only one I know.
Right. This is about an aspiring TV anchor who loses an audition for her dream job and gets so depressed she goes out to get loaded and wakes up in a stranger's bed with no money, no car, and no memory of what she did the night before. Then she gets a phone message from her agent saying that she actually won the audition and she has to be live on the air at 5 o'clock. With no car, no money, no keys, no memory, she has to walk through various neighborhoods to get back on the air for the show by 5 o'clock. So Elizabeth Banks, very funny, very talented, very lovely actress. I think that has a lot of promise to it.
Have we done a phone topic before, or has it been a super long time since we've had people call in who woke up someplace that they didn't remember going to at night?
We haven't, but I think that'd be fascinating.
Yeah.
Where you ended up and how you got home.
Yeah.
Mumford & Sons. A lot of people ask us when we play Mumford & Sons here. They say, hey, what's with all the banjo music? To which we say, you know what? Turns out people love it. They are still at the top of the top 10 albums of the Billboard 200 list this week. Third week in a row, Mumford & Sons, Babel, still the best-selling album in these United States. Second, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis.
Oh, sure.
Macklemore and Lewis.
Macklemore does good work.
Oh, I love me some Macklemore and Lewis. I saw them when they did vaudeville back at the old Bijou Theater.
Macklemore is a very popular Seattle rapper. He's a white rapper.
Ah.
And Ryan Lewis is the singing on. And I think... No, I'm not sure about that. But yeah, Ryan Lewis does the singing on it. Macklemore does the rapping. That
anyway, their debut album, is number two on the list.
Wow.
Kiss's Monster, third most popular album in America this week.
Band that's been around for what, 45 years or something?
Yep. MGK's got an album called Lace Up, debuted this week with number four. Coheed and Cambria. Afterman Ascension, and its debut was fifth on the list. The rest of the top ten is All Time Low with Don't Panic, Barbra Streisand's Release Me, Pink, The Truth About Love, Ellie Goulding, Halcyon, and Muse, The Second Law, tenth on the list. So those are your top ten albums in America. And if you get yourself a little problem with traffic, call Lisa May. No, but there's a reason for it. Michelle Obama is traveling around the city today.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So
go home.
You may run into a little bit of traffic with the Secret Service protecting her, getting her from place to place. She is attending a fundraiser at Will and Jada Pinkett Smith's house in Calabasas, raising some money for the campaign there.
Okay.
Oh, I hope Jaden raps. And Willow whips her hair back and forth for you, Michelle.
I'm sure they will force her to sit through that.
And then she's going on to a guy named Jimmy Kimmel's show. Later on this evening.
The First Lady is on with Kimmel tonight?
The First Lady will be with our boy Jimmy, so.
Wow. He shouldn't be allowed anywhere near the First Lady, should he?
But they're pals. He did the correspondence dinner. They all hung out together.
Right, but he's going to make her eat year-old bacon off the wall in his studio or something.
That was our Jimmy, not TV's Jimmy.
Oh.
Congratulations, Mel Gibson has found love again. I'm so happy. He hasn't roughed up a girlfriend in some time. So, the next victim is named Ashley Cusate. However, I think he's met his match at this point. She is 38 years old. She is lovely. However, I don't think she's going to take any guff from Mel Gibson. Turns out she is a stunt woman.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So she knows how to fight and
exactly.
Everything else?
She has a brown belt in karate. Finally, a woman that Mel Gibson. A challenge for Mel Gibson.
I don't care.
I think you do. She has doubled in movies for such actresses as Jennifer Aniston and Denise Richards. And by all accounts, they're very much in love.
That's provocative.
It is provocative.
Okay.
Yeah. You like her boobs, though? You like her fake boobs? What do you think, Mel? You like her fake boobs?
I don't know, but I have that one.
Oh, never mind.
Got to start coming to the meetings.
Provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs. You feel you have to show off.
Yeah. I like them.
By the way, that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
Clarify that.
And that's why you were attracted to her in the first place,
right.
Mel Gibson.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Tyler Posey from Teen Wolf is 21. Bristol Palin.
I don't care.
Palin is 22. Zac Efron is 25 years old today. Frida Pinto of Slumdog Millionaire is 28. Jean-Claude Van Damme is 52. Chuck Lorre, producer and writer of many popular TV shows, turned 60. Mike Ditka. 73 years old. Dawn Wells of Gilligan's Island fame played Marianne on that series is 74. Yeah, I don't think Dawn's really getting the bell.
The bell either.
I haven't seen her lately.
Yeah?
Well, then don't.
Haven't seen her in 40 years.
No, Kevin and I went to her house in the 90s. We saw her then. She was still very attractive.
Chuck Berry is 86 years old today. The legend of rock and roll, Johnny B. Goode's Chuck Berry. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We are a few weeks now into the new fall season on television. It's going to be interesting to find out what shows are going to make it, what shows are going to be among the first to be canceled. We'll talk to our friend Michael Schneider. He is with TVGuide.com in about a half an hour for a recap of where we are in the fall season so far. I love TV, but I'm always afraid I'm missing something good, something that's out there that I should be watching that I'm not. So
or
I'm looking forward to talking to Mike.
Am I too invested in something that's going to go away?
That's the worst.
That's a great question, too. If I hear something is being canceled and I don't love it, I just stop watching it right there because what's the point? That's a good point, Kevin.
Here's a topic I never thought we'd address here on the Kevin Abede Show, but it came up recently, and I don't think I was around, Kevin, when bedwetting became a topic. What happened? What? How did this get on our radar now?
I will tell you, and I will have Lisa tell her wonderful story again.
I might have started this.
She started it by coming in and telling a personal story that had happened to her over the weekend, and she was horrified slash amused by it.
I was slightly amused. All right. So, you know how life gets super, super stressful at times. You're not getting enough sleep. And so I went to bed one night and I woke up, I don't know, 2-3 in the morning. And I went into the bathroom and I was in the bathroom sitting there thinking, you know, I am handling all this stress so well. This is the part that just cracks me up.
So you're sort of patting yourself on the back.
I really am. Like, it's amazing. I haven't had like a breakdown by now or something. And wow, this is amazing. And then I woke up. And I realized that I really wasn't in the bathroom at all. I was still in bed, but I had wet my bed.
Yay!
While patting herself on the back.
Because I'm handling the stress so well.
She wet the bed.
You know, it's going to come out somewhere, that stress.
In the last month.
And then I had to change my sheets.
Oh.
Which is so, you know, it's like 3 in the morning. It was actually a weeknight, so I had to go to work in the morning. Oh. It was just the worst.
Look, we've all been there where you're kind of awake and kind of asleep and you're not really sure which is which, but you hope that you're actually awake and at the toilet. That's
yes,
what you're
you
hoping
do.
That. And most people, if you're an adult, let's face it, most of us never wet the bed. But if you do, isn't it usually as a result of just being super drunk and just collapsing
yeah,
in the bed after a long night and you're just, there's no way you're even conscious enough to get up, so you end up peeing yourself. I mean, that's generally what happens with adults, right?
Right.
So then Beer Mug speaks up and he says, yeah, I didn't stop wetting the bed till I was 11. We said, what?
Wow.
11?
Seems old.
Seems way old.
Yeah, it was bad. It was every night.
It was outrageous.
It wasn't a regular day if I didn't wet the bed. In fact, I every time I'd go to sleepover or sleepaway camp, I would be so petrified because I knew it was going to happen. It was inevitable. It was, and my mom and dad had got me a bedwetting alarm that there was a shoulder unit with an alarm on it that a wire ran down to the area.
You mean they produced that?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I had like one of the first generations. I was like the lab rat of this thing, and every time it would get wet, it would go off, and it was supposed to wake you up. It worked for the first, you know, couple times, but I would destroy the bed.
Yeah. Now, wait a second here.
Says, do you sleep on plastic?
He almost said that proudly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it got to a point where, like, in the middle of the night, I wouldn't even change my sheets. I would just go get towels, throw towels over, and go back to bed.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's when your hygiene started. Excellent.
Yeah. And you were wetting the bed literally every night?
Every night, Bean. It was bad.
So
it
until you're 11.
Until I was 11.
You don't go out to other people's houses?
Well, see, that's the thing.
You don't sleep over?
I did. I didn't want anybody to know. Like,
of course.
I had a bedwetting problem. I wanted to be a regular kid. So I would go over to their houses, but I would just be petrified. I was like, uh-oh, this is going to happen. So I would make sure not to drink anything like 3 hours before I went to bed.
Seriously, man, have some water.
Yeah,
No.
I was like, what's his name? Fuller from Home Alone, where you can't give him any Pepsi or he's going to wet the bed. I was like, that was the noise I heard. That was the noise that would go off every night.
All right. So 11.
When the buzzer went off, you're already peeing yourself, though, right?
Yep.
It already goes off when it's wet.
The connectors are already touching, and that means it's wet.
How does that help?
Well, it's supposed to get like the right at the beginning because it's right, it's attached to your
in
front of your, your unit.
Got it.
And yeah, exactly. It trains you to wake up.
So first drop is supposed to wake you up, and then you can get up and take care of yourself.
Exactly.
So why do you think, Beer Mug, and we want to take your calls, by the way, if you can top 11, if you wet the bed past 11, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Now, and I'll give you some pretty interesting statistics about bedwetting. But
again, let me just say, we don't want anyone that was drunk. We want actual bedwetting.
Right.
Like Lisa was not under the influence of anything.
Right, right.
Okay.
Why do you suppose, Beer Mug, you stopped when you were 11? What do you think changed?
Well, that's a good question, Bean, because I went to go see a doctor. My parents took me to the doctor to say, hey, when is this bedwetting going to stop? And he said, well, you have an underdeveloped bladder. I pretty much had the bladder the size of a garbanzo bean.
Oh,
so you got a doctor that just gave you a free license.
Pretty much.
Took all the blame for it.
Free license to pee. Exactly. And,
wow.
So,
it's my favorite James Bond movie, by the way. License to pee.
Yeah. So he said, when I stopped peeing is when my bladder started, growing to full development, full size of my age.
So you just need, your organs just needed to grow to match the rest of your body.
Exactly.
And you're going to be fine. And you haven't had any problems since then? You don't occasionally relapse?
Well, his brain is still growing.
Yeah, my brain is still growing. But no, not other than the occasional drunken night where I pee myself.
Not
no.
talking about drunken. Yeah, all right.
And by the way, when you're 11, I mean, it's not unheard of, but that's old enough where you know it's a problem and you are embarrassed.
Embarrassing.
By it, and you just dread going to bed every night, right?
Pretty much.
You know what's going to happen.
Yep.
Here's we're going to get to your calls in 1 minute at 1-800-520-1067 if you have your own bedwetting story. Here's a survey. It's a couple of years old now, but a professor from the Chinese University of Hong Kong teamed up with colleagues from the Prince of Wales Hospital to analyze the results of more than 16,500 children ages 5 to 19. 5 to 19. They stopped at 19, by the way.
What are you working on?
working on a big project of bedwetting.
According to this survey, 1 in 50 teenagers wets the bed. So that's 13 and up. 1 in 50.
Teenagers.
Almost half of 19-year-olds who have the problem, those who are still 19 and wetting the bed, wet the bed every single night.
Whoa.
Apparently what they say is mild bedwetting is much worse with younger children, but older children reported a higher level of severe problems, meaning that if you're 11 to 19, for instance, 82% are wetting the bed at least three times a week.
Do they just sleep so deeply? Do they know what it is?
They don't say in this article what the reason is, but that's, you know, that's why they're doing this research, is to see if they can put two and two together and figure out why it is. So if you don't beat bedwetting by the time you get to be 13, 14, 15 years old, it's likely that it's going to get worse or stay worse.
Do you just sleep in adult diapers?
For life?
Think of your dating life. Oh,
again,
wow.
They shut this off at 19. I bet there have to be adults who have this problem, right? They just, for whatever reason. And I would imagine, like what Beer Mug was describing with his bladder, I would imagine that there's a medical reason if you're still wetting the bed and you're 30, right?
I would hope so.
But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's take a call here to get us going before the break at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Dennis real quick.
There's an alarming number of phones ringing.
We're looking for somebody who can beat 11 years old. That's how old Muggs was. Dennis, how old were you?
I was 12.
Yes! Dennis is number one! What was going on, buddy?
Well, being the youngest of nine kids, me and my other three brothers all went to bed.
Does that make you feel better to throw them in there with you?
Poor parents.
No kidding.
Yeah, we went through a lot of mattresses.
Oh, my God.
So every single morning, the first thing your mom had to do when she got up was start washing sheets again, right?
No. Recall, I said I'm the youngest, so she gave up on that. We just had to live in our own year.
No.
That turned south.
Until
2 seconds ago.
What about what Beer Mug said, where you just put towels down over the wet spot?
I may have figured that out by the time I was 10 or something. But
so why do you think you stopped at 12?
I've heard that, and I kind of try to put this out of my mind, that it ever happened, because it was embarrassing, because my best friend's mom called my mom and said, if he's going to sleep over, he has to bring a sleeping bag.
Oh, that's sweet. Mm. That's nice.
And I think I've heard that it's because a urethra doesn't develop until later for some boys. And it's more
interesting.
Common in boys than girls.
And that made you feel better about being a failure?
But that sounds reasonable. That sounds like you had a medical reason, just like Muggs. And by the way, this same survey that I quote says that it is a higher percentage of problems with late bedwetting for boys than for girls. And that could be exactly what Dennis is talking about.
Yeah, all right, none of my five sisters wet the bed at all. So
bitches.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right, 12 is the number to be. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin Amin Show. So Beer Mug wet the bed regularly until he was 11. But it sounds like what I'm learning here today is it wasn't really his fault. It sounds like he had some undeveloped plumbing. Took a little longer that to get working.
Which is what he tells himself to live with himself.
Hey, come on. Look, I'm no fan of Beer Mug, but that does make medical sense to me. But we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Then we talked to Dennis. He was 12. Now let's go to Kyle. He's on line 8. Let's find out how old he was when he quit wetting the bed and what that was like for him. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. How old were you?
The magic number for me was 13.
13 everybody. Fantastic.
Woo! Kyle's number one.
and tell me what that was like when you were 11, 12, 13. You were old enough to know that it was no good.
Yeah, it was no good. And, you know, my mom often worked nights, and so we'd spend the night at my grandma's. And she knew all about it. And she's this little Japanese lady. And in the middle of the night, she would come and sneak into where I was sleeping and try to put a diaper on me.
She wouldn't even tell you up front that she thought you should wear one?
No, she just figured I'd wake up in the morning and just be happy with the diaper, I guess.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's fantastic. See, this is why you can't trust the Japanese, because they always sneak in the middle of the night. That's what I've learned.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you very much. All right, let's see. How about Ashley? Now, we haven't talked to any ladies yet. Ashley is on line 4. How old were you, Ashley, when you stopped wetting the bed?
I was 16 when I finally started.
Ashley's number 16! One!
16!
What was going on with you? You don't have the bladder excuse that Beer Mug gave us.
No, I didn't have the bladder issues. I can actually relate to Lisa. I would always dream that I was going to the bathroom, and it would become a battle of the mind and my will, and my mind always had the upper hand. It would get me every time. So I would go like at least a week or every other week until I was 16.
Oh, man.
Isn't that interesting? Why do you suppose it stopped?
Well, I finally had to train myself. I tried everything to try to differentiate if it was a dream or not. And I would pinch myself. That didn't work. I would try to rationalize the event. Like, did I just wake up on the toilet? But it was so vivid. So finally, I would just go a little bit. And I could feel it on my butt that I knew I was still in bed.
All right. All right. Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Welcome to Urine Talk.
Good morning.
All right. Have a bite of whatever you're eating.
Thank you. Ashley, thank you, my dear. Two more real quick. Andrew, line one. Andrew, 16 is the number to beat. How old were you when you stopped wetting the bed?
I was a ripe old age of 20.
20? Ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
We're out of the teens now.
We have a new leader.
That's fantastic. What was going on? What did you think the problem was?
That's fantastic.
Actually, I was diagnosed real young with a sensitive bladder, sensitive to like really acidic drinks. And then plus I had the same thing with Ashley, is I would have dreams of going to the restroom when I was asleep. And I was actually able to wake myself up the majority of the time. So instead of me going all over myself, I was able to wake up.
So the acidic thing, though, is that like drinking like orange juice and stuff like that would cause a problem for you?
Yeah, mostly orange juice and dark sodas and things like that. Thank God it didn't happen with alcohol, for God's sake.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that would have been a deal breaker.
Take your own life. All right.
Thank you, Andrew. All right. We got Stefan now. Stefan is on line 6. He's the last one we're going to have time for. We're at 20, Stefan. How old were you?
Actually, it's Steven, and I was 23.
Yes. Yay! Ladies and gentlemen, that's fantastic. Beer Mug, you got to feel pretty good about yourself right now.
Yeah. He wet the bed until W. You're nothing.
Tell me about that. 23, what happened?
Yeah, it was when I had just gotten married. It was the first few weeks living with my wife. And
you were still wetting the bed when you got married?
Unfortunately, yes.
Awesome. Did she know about it? Did she know about it before you guys got married? Were you sleeping together before you got married?
I mean, kind of, sort of, not really, but we didn't spend a whole bunch of nights together. And I mean, it was just like the past two callers. I would have dreams that I was using the restroom, and this night after, you know, like a week being married, I, you know, had a dream and woke up and everything was wet, and she was mad that I tried to pee on her when we first got married.
She was thinking, what did I get myself into?
I married a guy.
He tries to pee on me every night.
I don't like it.
And did it just stop on its own after that?
Thankfully it did, and I kind of learned just not to drink any liquids before bed.
Wait, if you drink liquids before bed today?
Today, it seems I'm okay. But for whatever reason...
Try it tonight and get back to us.
Thank you, Steven. Appreciate the call. Hey, brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup next hour means about 40 new parodies of Gangnam Style, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm fine with that. Plus, Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us as well. Michael Schneider is on the phone right now, our friend from TV Guide, tvguide.com, franklinavenue.net. Hey, Michael. How are you, man?
I'm good, Bean. Hey, Kevin and Lisa May.
Hello.
How are you?
You know it. Hey, I can't find Made in Jersey on my TV grid. What's going on? I watched the first couple episodes, and now, for some reason, it doesn't seem to be scheduled. What's happening?
Yeah, well, A, you didn't actually watch the first couple episodes.
No, he did not.
B, it was the first casualty of the year. I think even CBS knew that this show wasn't going to last long, and sure enough, after 2 weeks, they decided repeats would be better served in that time slot.
Do you guys in the TV business, do you have office pools as to which shows? Because you see a lot of them before they get on. Do you have a pool on who's going to get canceled first?
Oh, absolutely. It came down to either that or Guys with Kids or Animal Practice on NBC. The Neighbors on ABC was another one that I think a lot of people had in their pool. All shows that are a little different and kind of challenging to get an audience and, you know, not exactly critically acclaimed.
Different mean not meaning better, but just different.
Different. Right. Yeah.
How does it happen? We're always fascinated with this, and you're a professional, and I know that they got to put something on the air, but how does it happen that a show that the first time it airs, everyone watching can see it's a dog and has no business being on the air? How does something like that make it to television?
You know, I think sometimes these things are sort of like freight trains, and at some point you can't get off, and I think even maybe some of the people involved know that this just isn't working out, but you invested in it, so you got to put it on anyway.
Right.
Other times, you know, there may be some champions inside the network. There may be some people who actually do find that show funny or that show compelling. Or, you know, you put a show on that's called Made in Jersey because, hey, everyone loves Jersey.
Yeah.
Everyone's watching the Jersey Shore.
Sure. And is sometimes like a show like Go On that I don't know anybody who likes, is a show like that just, hey, Matthew Perry is a guy we want to stay in business with, so let's not tick him off, let's at least give it a chance?
Yeah, there's a chunk of that, and, you know, I think, you know, that actually isn't as critically reviled as some of the others. There's a glimmer of community in that show, and I think, you know, there are some funny moments there, so I think they must feel that there's something down the road that
right.
might be worthwhile keeping it on. But yeah, that's another sort of weird one.
What are some of the best new shows, the best audience rated and critic rated?
Well, you know, the critics loved Nashville, which just debuted last week.
What else?
And you know, because Johnny Britton.
Now hold on a second.
I like it.
I haven't seen it yet. I want to hear about it. Do you like Nashville, Michael?
You know, it was okay. It's not necessarily my cup of tea, but I thought it was well done. And you know, Connie Britton, you can't
go wrong with her.
Connie Britton, exactly. You know, but honestly, this has been sort of a, this is not the best year ever for new television, to tell you the truth.
All right, let me run some by you. How about Revolution?
You know, Revolution's all right. I kind of want to see where it's going. But Revolution's doing really well, thanks to going on behind The Voice. So
Excellent. That's
definitely helped it.
All right. Elementary. Sherlock
Elementary,
Holmes.
You know, that's a solid CBS procedural, you know, Sherlock Holmes doing just fine because you put just about anything except for Made in Jersey on CBS, and it'll do well.
I mean, a procedural on CBS, you're going to get 8 seasons out of it at least. I mean, it just seems like they can't miss. I don't know what they're doing over there, but everything turns to gold pretty much.
There's like a block of 18 million viewers out there across America that will watch anything that's a procedural on CBS.
Yeah, they just their TV stays on Channel 2 and never moves. What about some of the new comedies like The Mindy Project and Ben and Kate? Those both got a lot of pre-promotion before they aired on Fox. Are they panning out now 3 weeks into the season?
Yeah, you know, Mindy Project actually, if you like New Girl, then you should like Mindy Project. It's very similar in form and in humor styles. And Mindy Kaling's just funny. So, you know, Ben and Kate is still kind of finding itself. There's a glimmer of hope there. The creator, Dana Fox, is a really strong writer, and I'm expecting good things from her. So we'll see.
We have been, so far, this is Michael Schneider from TV Guide on the line with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And so far, as we talk about the new fall season, we've mostly just been talking about the major broadcast networks. I don't get any kind of a rush or a buzz about those shows the way I do about some of the stuff on cable, like The Walking Dead coming back, like American Horror Story last night. It just seems like those are the shows that you really get pumped for. Why is that, Michael?
Yeah. Well, cable, obviously, they can get away with more. And, They don't have as much to market, so they can market the hell out of shows like American Horror Story and Walking Dead, and it pays off. I mean, Walking Dead did nearly 11 million viewers on Sunday, which
wow.
is insane. That's broadcast-style numbers. And, you know, that kind of show you probably still couldn't do on a broadcast network. And so, you know, cable now isn't enough homes that people are watching it, and they're doing quite well. So, you know, broadcast is looking behind its back.
And shows like Dexter and Homeland, I mean, if I subscribe to Showtime, I've got those shows. But do they, if they were actually rated shows, would they have big, big numbers too?
That's tough to say. You know, those are both very challenging shows. And you know, they probably will never get broad appeal because, you know, there's a portion of the audience that sort of wants Blue Sky TV. But, they would probably do a little better on broadcast than they would do on cable.
Let me ask you one more question because we're almost out of time here. What's the show that you love that you don't think is doing as well as it should?
Well, I always got to go back to my Community, which unfortunately, as we know now, has been delayed. And so we have no idea when it's coming back on. It was supposed to be on already. And now, you know, we're still waiting to see when it's going to premiere. So,
and why did they make that decision? Why did they bump Community?
they realized that they hadn't marketed it at all. People just didn't know it was coming back. And plus, they stuck it in a Death Friday time slot, and no one's watching TV on Friday anymore. So they probably did it good by holding it back and waiting until they had a real spot to premiere it.
TVGuide.com or franklinavenue.net if you want to keep up with all the things that are going on in the world of television. He is the TV Guide Magazine LA Bureau Chief, and it's always great to catch up with Mr. Michael Schneider. Mike, thanks for the time, man.
Hey, guys, one last thing.
Yep.
Fire beer mug.
Neon Trees, also Nirvana, and other bands that start with N coming up next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show, plus Dr. Drew and a brand new Internet Roundup. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Here's me. Congratulations to Megan Fox and her husband Brian Austin Green. It was announced yesterday that the couple welcomed a bouncing baby boy to the family on September the 27th. Megan revealed the news on Facebook, saying her son is healthy, happy, and perfect. Yeah, wait a couple years. Wait till he's saying, move, mommy! She also added, forever grateful to God for allowing me to know this kind of boundless, immaculate love. I don't think love's ever immaculate with Megan Fox, you know what I'm saying? I think it's dirty.
Oh my God.
I think I know what you're saying. I think I'm getting it. Megan Fox, what do you have? Weird thumbs.
The baby's name is Noah. Noah Shannon Green. Shannon? Yeah, so much for perfect. You just screwed that up, Megan Fox. We were talking about R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet returning after a much too long of a hiatus. November the 23rd is the date it returns with new chapters on the IFC channel. If you can't wait that long, chapter 23 was posted online yesterday, but it's basically just a tease of the upcoming chapters. But the good news is, if you're late to the Trapped in the Closet phenomenon, IFC channel has announced that they are running a marathon of all 22 previous chapters on Thanksgiving Day, starting at 10 a.m. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate with the family. after your meal's over, you're having a slice of pumpkin pie, or perhaps some mince pie. You like the mince pie?
No.
You don't like mince pie?
Not really, no.
Mince is awesome. It's hard to find, too. It's hard to find mince these days.
Never had it.
Never had mince pie?
Mm-mm.
I'm bringing mince pie in for everyone.
Okay.
What's in that, Ralph?
It's raisins.
I'm out.
Why are you out?
You know I hate raisins.
How do you hate on raisins?
I hate raisins.
It's spiced raisin apple, I think, is also in there. It's a delicious concoction that you can
Sounds
only find
good.
Really in the mints. And raisins kick ass, Lisa.
They are the worst food ever.
Anyway, you gather around with the mince pie, maybe a dollop of Cool Whip on top of that, and then you just turn on the IFC and you watch Trapped in the Closet with the family, and you get to watch Pimp Lucius and Chuck give AIDS to other people. And it's a holiday classic is what it is. It's going to become a tradition, I'm guessing.
I challenge you to watch one chapter of it and then turn it off. It just isn't possible.
Yeah.
Where are you, Chuck?
Where are you, Chuck? We'll find out soon. Tadoff Swindler's in the news. Of course, the evil succubus, the spawn of Satan that is Taylor Swift. Apparently, she's got a bit of a Kennedy problem. Here's the thing. She's been very public with her affair, with her statutory rape of Connor Kennedy.
Okay, it's not an affair.
Underage Connor
They're both
Kennedy.
Single. They're just dating.
She's 22. He's 11.
Wow, that seems young.
Yeah.
18.
And here's the thing. Reportedly, she's using Connor Kennedy to get at his cousin Patrick Kennedy, the older, more powerful Kennedy, and that's the one she really wants.
Oh, the plot thickens. Who's making this up?
She has been seen with Patrick Kennedy.
Her defender every step of the way.
Yeah. And Star Magazine's got the story saying friends and the sources close to Taylor say Patrick is the one the Kennedy she really wants. She moves up the Kennedy food chain.
She's going to use Connor for a song.
In her attempt to become first lady.
Oh,
so that
that's
she
what's going
can
on.
Give birth to the 666 Damien child that will lead to the end of the planet as we know it.
It's all
for you, Damien!
I think you're onto something. I think that's where it's exactly headed.
It's exactly where it is headed. She is the omen. She is the star of the omen.
I believe it.
God, she's so horrible. You guys were talking to that guy about
television, and you scoffed, and I can understand why, at first blush, at that Nashville show.
Yeah, no, I did. I specifically did.
That's a great guy.
Really? You hate country music?
Good, right? I know.
I thought you wouldn't even give it a try.
Can you imagine how good it is if I watched it and loved it? Here's the thing. The wife likes the country music.
Oh, okay.
And I had heard good things about it, so I was willing to at least give the first episode a gander because I wanted to have an open mind about it.
Wait, you try things out?
Yeah.
Before you make up your mind?
It's not like you to have an open mind either, Ralph,
and
by the way.
It turns out the country music isn't nearly as offensive as I thought. That doesn't play that big a role. I don't think they've ever done an entire country song, for example. They show snippets of people performing. It's much more of
no
a drama.
Glee.
Yeah, it's much more of a drama than it is a musical. But, boy, the storyline just outstanding, and the performances are great. And that Hayden Panettiere just reinvented herself. She's like this sexy minx troublemaker. I mean, very different than the role she played on Heroes. But I really enjoy the heck out of it. I'm looking forward to it.
And how great, I haven't seen Nashville yet, but how great an actress
but how great is it?
How great an actress is Connie Britton?
Yeah, she's always good.
She's
I knew
phenomenal.
That going in. But let's face it, her choice in television projects in the past has been suspect.
Friday Night Mother Effin' Lights.
That's what I'm talking about.
One of the greatest television shows in history, Ralph.
Now that she's on a show that people are watching, maybe people can discover Connie Britton for themselves.
Don't ask me. Ask any television critic who's ever existed, by the way, about Friday Night Lights.
I will.
As
soon as I get around to...
Ralph's going to get right on that.
As soon as I get around to working up just the slightest interest to talk about Friday Night Lights, I will ask any TV critic around. Today's celebrity birthdays, Chuck Berry, legendary singer, guitarist. Come on. The man gave us Johnny B. Goode, Maybelline. One of the inventors of rock and roll, basically.
But where is Chuck?
Don't have it up.
Oh, would have been so good.
Would have been a lot better.
You know
the
what?
Callback.
It would have been fine at best. It would have been. 86 years old.
Next hour, Beer Mug. I'm counting on you, buddy.
All right. You're counting on Beer Mug? Good
yes,
luck.
I am.
Actress Dawn Wells, she played Marianne on the Gilligan's Island television program, 74 years old today. Mike Ditka, legendary football coach. I'd like to see Ditka get back in the game, although at 73, odds are he would just have an aneurysm.
Yeah.
He was not a calm person on the sidelines. Maybe he's better off in broadcasting.
But don't you remember how kind he was to Matt Money Smith on our program?
Well, Money is a huge Bears fan, a longtime Chicago native. Money was a huge Bears fan, and we had an opportunity to talk to the coach. It was heartwarming. No? Nothing?
Really? You're setting me up?
I don't have it.
Well, why would you set it up?
Why would you bring it up if you didn't have it at the ready?
I thought the guys would have it. They're the ones who always play it. Right. I don't have it.
Well, then don't bring it up.
Oh. You had enough
the
time.
The wheels
to find
are coming
it.
Off.
Oh, God damn it.
You had enough time to find it.
Jesus.
As the kids say, FML.
You had 30 seconds of Ralph setting it up to bring up the audio.
Go to goddamn commercials.
Next hour, Beer Mug, I'm counting on you, buddy.
Go to goddamn commercials. What do you think is happening today?
Something in the air.
What do you think we're going south?
I think the fact that it's Friday is the only thing that's making me able to survive
it's
this
not,
program
it's
today.
It's Thursday morning.
Knowing that we just hang in there
Thursday.
For an hour and a half more
it's
and then we're
just
done.
A Thursday.
For the weekend, we can
regroup. Everything's and come
going
back.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Guys, is there a point at which Sylvester Stallone should not be allowed to box on film?
5 years ago.
Yes. And I guess he's still making pretty much only action movies. Of course, he's a star all over again with these Expendables movies.
But
both of those have been huge hits.
He looks like he's added 15 to 20 years since he's been in any movie. He looks really old.
His face is just sliding down.
Yeah, it's just melting.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is in crazy, crazy rock hard gym shape, though. It is amazing. No, I'm just saying, you look at how tough he looks at, what is he, 65 or something like that. But Ralph announced yesterday that Warner Brothers has given the go-ahead for a new boxing movie, not a Rocky one this time around. This one is called Grudge Match. Sylvester Stallone is going to be a retired boxer who steps back in the ring with another retired boxer played by Robert De Niro. I am intrigued just based on the casting of that.
Well, I don't know. How good can this – how can this be good?
I don't know how it can be good, especially when the most recent draft of the script was written by Doug Ellen, the creator of Entourage, that I have no great love for. I know there are a lot of people who like Entourage, so maybe that's a plus for them. But we wanted to find out more about this movie. It hasn't even started filming yet, but apparently it is a go. It is happening. It will be called Grudge Match. Sylvester Stallone joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Sly.
Oh, you're working out.
Sylvester Stallone? Sly?
Hey, how's it going? How you doing,
hey.
Guys?
Hey, we're doing well.
Sorry.
know, caught me in the middle of a workout here. You know?
I apologize. Yeah, so
I
we didn't realize.
Take a little time out from my workout to talk to you guys, you know, about everything.
Right.
So I'm just working out.
Well, it's good to hear you're still in the gym. I mean.
Well, yeah, I'm getting ready for Grudge Match.
Right.
Know?
Grudge Match,
it's
yeah.
It's going to be a big movie, so I have to look like, you know, I'm back in shape.
Right.
Get in the ring to, you know, make it believable that I'm boxing again.
How old are you, Mr. Stallone?
I'm old enough to know better. Hey!
Really? That deserves a workout?
65? Are you around 65, I want to say?
As far as you know, yes.
Okay.
70?
No, not 70, right?
All right.
Not freaking 70.
Not 70.
Can you tell us anything about the plot? What brings you and Robert De Niro's character back into the ring for the Grudge Match?
Well, Bobby and I play two retired boxers, see?
Right.
But there's a lot of unfinished business, you see, between him and me
right.
about who's a better boxer, and we got a lot of, you know, we got a lot of animosity towards each other,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, it builds up to the point where we both feel like we still got a little something left in the tank, you know, and so
yeah.
we get in the gym, and then, you know, then we decide to fight each other and settle this once for all. It's a grudge match.
Right.
Grudge.
I get that.
We got a grudge, and then we get into the boxing match,
right.
which is the match part of Grudge.
Grudge.
Match.
No, I understand. I got that.
The movie's called Grudge Match.
Grudge Match, right. It's just sad at some point to see Grandpa fight. That's all. It's the only thing I'm saying is it doesn't settle who was a great boxer back in the day. It's just old men swatting at each other.
No, it's two men who still have it, who are in the ring trying to prove something, okay?
All right.
Will you ever prove something?
No.
Why don't you try to prove something?
Nope, we don't.
Why don't you get in the ring with me and you prove something? You want to fight the fight? I'll fight the big fight. Come on. You and me get in the ring right now.
Oh, I'd pay anything to see Bean Feet fight Sylvester
yeah,
Stallone.
I would too. I hit him once, and then it would be like just a pink mist settling to the canvas at that point.
I don't think this has to be about me.
Giant spine bifida body collapsing into a puddle.
What? Of course, you've stayed in good shape with the Expendables movies. How about Bobby De Niro? What kind of shape is he in?
Well, you know, that's the thing. Here's your selling point, in my opinion. You got Rocky that is taking on Raging Bull, right?
Right.
So Rocky versus Raging Bull. Two classic boxing characters get in the ring together, you know?
Right, but you're not playing Rocky.
No, I am not.
Okay.
Glad you crystallized that
but
for
I'm
people.
Saying, these aren't
I
those
thought
boxers.
I was mentally irregular.
I'm saying these aren't
well,
those
you
boxers.
You took too many shots to the head, apparently. How long did you fight? Because you got brain damage.
That's actually possible.
I am not Rocky, no, and Robert De Niro's not Raging Bull.
Okay.
But famously, we did play those characters.
Right,
right.
And so in audiences' minds, I'm saying, I
understood.
Think, just don't worry, it's a loud movie, Kevin.
Okay.
You'll like it.
Okay. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us here on the Kevin Abin Show. Coming up next, first, how about a brand new internet roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's internet roundup.
Go to KevinAbin.com. You can see all of these videos, and usually more than we have time to highlight in audio. The first one that we want to highlight is a guy who is talking about his band, and he's jumping into a lake, and the lake is frozen. Now, he knows it's cold, and he knows the lake is frozen. So
it's a swimming pool. Isn't it a swimming pool?
I don't know. Lake, swimming pool. It's frozen is the point. And
all right.
And my guess is he thinks he's going to break through it, but he doesn't. He lands right on the ice, and it is one of the most painful and funny things you'll see all day.
Motherfucker, boat, and my new band is called Seas Kill.
Okay, so he's trying to promote his band, and then he takes a running start. And he hits so hard, and you can hear the you know when the air is knocked out of you, how you can't, you're exhaling and you can't stop? You can hear it.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
he's German. It's like he just dove into concrete. I mean, it couldn't hurt anymore. And how cold must it be out, by the way, if that swimming pool is frozen solid and he's out there in just a little bathing suit, thinking he's so macho, he's going to make such an awesome video. And, of course, he ends up making an awesome video, but not for reasons he expected.
Is this the end of Snoop Dogg? I ask you.
It actually might be.
When I give you Pocket Like It's Hot.
Hungry kids in the crib, ma. Pocket like it's hot. Pocket like it's hot. Pocket like it's hot. When the cravings got a hold of you. Pocket like it's hot. Pocket like it's hot. Pocket like it's hot. And your munchies get an attitude. Pocket like it's hot. Pocket like it's hot.
All right, come on.
I don't know what to say about that. Look, it's his song, and he's probably got paid a ton of. He's probably making more money off this commercial than he's making off of selling that song anymore. So,
but Pocket Like It's Hot.
You gotta, I know. No, no more cred.
Come
on. And by the way, this isn't a 30-second commercial. They made a full, like, 4-minute full-length video for this song for Hot Pockets.
Here's a remix of some of the debates. This particular one is called Binders Full of Women.
Binders Full of Women. Can you help us find folks? And they brought us whole binders full of women who had backgrounds that could be qualified to become members of Binders Full of Women.
That's a pretty funny remix.
That ought to be a new horror movie, Binders Full of Women. It just sounds terrifying.
It doesn't exist in this world until it has been remixed.
Absolutely.
That's what we've learned. Mitt Romney rap. Some white guys rapping about Mitt Romney.
When election time comes, it's either him or Obama. Check off Romney's box to stop America's problems. Obama's got change, Mitt Romney's got hundreds. 4 years later, nothing better, have you wondered?
So that happens.
It does sound like the kind of rap a Mormon would enjoy.
Barack Obama versus Mitt Romney, epic rap battles of history. This is the Barack section.
Call me a vicious businessman, because Romney's stealing this race. I'll go bank capital on your donkey ass, restructure your face.
Well, they say your father was a great man. You must be what's left. Need to stop hating on gays. Let them teach you how to dress. You got the mama jeans and a Mr. Fantastic face. So rich and white, it's like I'm running against a cheesecake.
This election can't be over soon enough.
I hear that. But the Gregory brothers have to weigh in. They always do, and it's fantastic when they do. This is the Town Hall Debate Songified. If you want to see the whole thing, you go to kevinandbean.com for the Internet Roundup.
Who's going to work it out, baby? Who's going to work it out?
I want you to be able to get a job. I know what it takes to make America the most attractive place. That's why I want to bring down the tax rates.
Low-skilled jobs are not going to come back. I want jobs with a high wage. If we're adding to our deficit for tax cuts, we will lose that race.
They're so good at it.
That is genius. The whole thing is genius. And you see the video of each guy talking. It's just unbelievable. This is Gangnam Busters. Being played a little bit of this. This is the Ghostbusters theme mixed with Gangnam Style. And at the very beginning of it, they're using the music for one, the vocals for the other, and then they flip halfway through.
Oppan Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Oppan Gangnam Style. Something strange in the neighborhood.
That's great.
Who you gonna call?
That's also done in video, too, so you can watch that.
That's going to be played at every Halloween party in America this year, isn't it?
Jimmy Kimmel's This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
Could Mitt Romney really f*** Big Bird? Just the thought of it has PBS fans all f***ed up.
And finally, Felix Baumgartner. This is the guy that jumped out of that balloon at 24 miles above the Earth?
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is the unreleased audio. Who knew that he was doing a running commentary as he stepped out of that balloon and fell 24 miles to Earth?
Okay, I'm going to try it. Yeah.
And show the video of him stepping out and then jumping.
Make that up. Reassuring to hear his voice.
Not such a hero now, is he? Not so brave now, is he?
It's KevinandBean.com for the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
I know how busy Dr. Drew is, and I never take it for granted that he carves out a few minutes every week to join us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, because there's so much to talk to you about, Doc. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank
you. Doing great. Love Line, of course, airs Sunday through Thursday nights here on K-Rock. The HLN show airs weeknights on HLN at 6 or 9, depending on your system. And Rehab airs Sunday nights at 8 on VH1. Let's talk about the HLN show for a second first. I didn't see it. I did tape it. But you had the tanning mom on for an hour last night.
It was that last night. It was earlier in the week. And I had the tan mom on, and it was quite an experience. This is the woman that looked like she was painted her face with, like, it was ridiculous, like shoe polish.
It's cartoonish. Yeah. It's cartoonish.
It's cartoonish.
And what did you speak to her for an hour about?
Well, it turned out, lo and behold, like always with human behavior, there's quite a story and quite an explanation. First of all, I showed her pictures of herself, and she was sort of stunned and said, I can't believe I didn't see that. I can't believe it. I don't know how I didn't perceive it. But I had no idea.
You mean you showed her pictures from when she didn't look like that and now when she did?
She doesn't look like that now.
Oh.
And I showed her pictures of when we all got excited about her, and she was just, like, sort of dumbfounded. Then we got into conversations about why that might be. And a lot of this ended up on the soup because she is extremely manic. Turns out she'd had severe head injuries, had been, like, near death, was beaten up by what she described a guy on steroids, was in a coma, had been sexually abused, physically abused, kidnapped twice, stuck in a pit and buried alive once. I mean, this
are you sure went, she's not just recounting Halloween movies?
It just went on and on, the trauma. And so really what you're looking at with her is somebody with severe head injury. And I love me some Gary Busey. He's a dear man, but this, he has a very similar kind of an organic issue from his injury as the tan mom does.
Okay, but what led her to all that extreme tanning? Why does being abused or being buried or all the other things that happen make her want to turn herself into a Thanksgiving turkey?
It's not so much the abuse, it is the head injury that makes her unable to perceive social cues, unable to perceive how she is perceived by others. It's sort of a classic, there's a classic case of a guy named Phileas Cage where he had his frontal lobe injured and parietal lobe injured, and this is what she has. And she can't see these things, and she can't control herself. And she, for in her mind, this was just the way she sort of spent her leisure time. And people told her she looked good, and she had no self-perception.
She had no idea she looked like that.
No,
like a clown.
I showed her picture, and she was like, oh, my God, how did I not see that?
Wow.
Well, that's brain injury.
Now, she, of course, became famous because wasn't she arrested because she had a little kid in the tanning room with her, right? What is she saying about that now?
Right. Apparently, that was all spurious. I mean, the kid was had walked in the room where there was a tanning sort of a closet, and everyone was just so disturbed by how she looked. They couldn't imagine she could manage kids. Turns out she has five kids.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and does well. I mean, here's what I want to talk to.
Yeah.
I want to talk to the husband. I want to understand how he deals with it. He's been married with her for quite some time, apparently a financial guy, and I wonder what his perceptions are. I mean, that's the guy I want to talk to.
Yeah.
Fascinating. All right. Two quick things that have come up on our show recently here, Dr. Drew, that we need some medical advice on. Do you mind?
Not at all.
One is we were talking about a guy in India who his wife just gave birth to their second child. He is 96, doctor.
He is 96.
He is 96. His wife is 52. They just had a little baby boy, their second, this past week. Is it possible that a 96-year-old can, A, have sex, and, B, can still have viable sperm to father a child?
That is one of the unfair inequalities about having a Y chromosome, about being a male. That is, you can continue to have sex and reproduce throughout the lifespan. Women lose the capacity to reproduce at a certain point. However, a cautionary sort of element in all this is recently there's been some research that suggests that the older the male gets, the higher the risk for autism in the child.
Oh, no.
So the DNA does become more fragile as we age. It's certainly well known in women, the fragile DNA in the ovary, but now we're starting to look at stuff in the male as well. So to me, I mean, how much more of a narcissistic expression can you possibly have than fathering a child of 96? What do you think? You're going to be there at high school graduation? Really?
No. Grade school graduation.
Yeah.
By the way, he didn't have his first kid until 2010, and he's only been married for the last 10 years to his wife. Says he was celibate his entire life until he met and married her at age 86. Doc, this guy is odd on a lot of levels.
Odd on a lot of levels, but I just wonder what Mr. Cather would have to say about this.
Yeah. I can just about walk. I can't hold a walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Do we think that a lot of people in their 90s are still even having sex, Dr. Drew? I think in our mind, us that are much younger imagine that you just lose interest or ability and give it up. Is that not the case?
You do in certain couples to a certain extent, but it's certainly not the case for everybody. And I think, you know, since, you know, the sort of baby boom generation, which has sort of been more sexually focused and liberated, gets into their later stages of life, I think it'll be more routine that people, certainly in their 80s, are having sex. And that's common in my practice, people in their 80s having sex.
But so I would suggest birth control at that point.
No, because the woman should already be through menopause. You have to worry about it at that point.
Just in case.
For this couple, obviously, there was an error.
Yeah, exactly. All right, last question. We had a story a couple days ago. It's been a very popular viral video, and maybe you saw it. In the parking lot out in front of the Cleveland Browns-Cincinnati Bengals game in Cleveland on Sunday, there was a guy who, with a bunch of his friends, are tailgating. He is talked into dunking his head into a bucket of urine. A full bucket of urine. He did it for, what was the number, Kevin? Do you remember how much he got out of it?
$450?
$450, yeah.
$450. And Ralph said he would do it for not much more than that because urine is sterile. Then we heard from a bunch of listeners who said, no, that's not the case. Once urine leaves the body, it's not sterile. It's still dangerous. Medically, is it dangerous to put your head in a bucket of urine?
I don't see any danger because it comes out of the body sterile. The only issue...
All right, go ahead, beer mug.
The only issue is... if somebody has a viral illness of some type, like a flu or God knows other viral illnesses, that can come through in the urine. If somebody has a urinary tract infection, but urine is—I don't know how it would even get infected.
So you give it the big thumbs up on that one.
I saw the viral. I like the fact that guy sort of roided out. That's the comedy. <in it for me. laughs> but yes, I saw the video and I thought, no, it's gonna be fine. He'll be all right. Huh. Drinking—you know—the people that drink urine all the time, they espouse the health benefits of it. And by the way, not recommended.
Yeah.
All right. So, Dr. Drew, if we're recapping as we say goodbye now, says go ahead and put your head in the bucket full of urine, but do not drink it on purpose.
That's right. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Love Light is 5 nights a week here on K-Rock, HLN show, weeknights at 9, and then Rehab, which continues to be great, Dr. Drew. I wish we had time to talk about it today. 8 o'clock Sunday nights on VH1. Thanks for the time, man.
Thank you, guys.
I don't need that conversation.
Some things are better kept off the air. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:54.
That's a terrible story, Ralph. Don't ever tell that story again.
Imagine
please.
It happened to me. Imagine
I know,
how I feel.
We don't want to hear
you
about it.
You got it secondhand.
All right. It's 8:53. It's Thursday morning.
Oh,
Ralph is here.
Nuts.
Time for another Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Oh, people are having babies and getting divorced. Good night. celebrity baby news. Megan Fox and her husband Brian Austin Green welcomed a baby boy to their family on September the 27th.
Where are you, Chuck?
Chuck is not the name of the baby.
Oh.
The proud mother, Megan, announced on Facebook that his name is Little Noah Shannon Green.
Will Glenda be there?
And Glenda had nothing to do with it, so Noah. Noah is the name of their baby.
Noah.
That's a good name. That's a normal name, right?
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
It's a regular person's name.
I mean, the kid will have to endure flood jokes his entire life.
True.
You got to consider that.
Hey, you're looking for two of every animal?
But at least it's a name that people have heard of that they can spell.
Yeah. Uma Thurman, on the other hand, finally revealed her baby's name. She and her boyfriend, Arpad Bousson, became parents back in July when Uma gave birth to a baby girl. Daughter's name had remained secret until now. Here we go. The baby's name in its entirety. Rosalind Arusha Arcadina Altaluna Florence Thurman Bousson.
Really?
Yes. Once again, that name, Rosalind Arusha Arcadina Altaluna Florence Thurman Bousson.
That's seven names. Who needs seven names?
No one.
No one.
Yeah. Apparently they call her Luna. And she lives on the second floor.
File.
No point in that. No point in that at all.
No point in that at all. So that's a lot of names. If you're going to call her Luna, why not move Luna up to the front of that pack of names?
Yeah, that would make more sense. Yeah.
Everyone's going to be calling that. You don't get to anything remotely Luna until fourth name in. That's where Alta Luna shows up.
That's weird.
Yeah. Asked why so many names. Each name has a special reason and meaning to her mother and father, they say.
Are they only going to have the one kid, so they had to use all the names?
So. Everything. What means something to us? Make a list of everything that means something to us. We're going to saddle our child with it.
My grandpa, my grandma.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So there you go. Welcome to the world, Rosalyn, Arushar, Kadena, Luna, Florence, Thurman, Busson. They needed a centerfold to the birth certificate. They had to fold out in order to get all the names on there. Mario Lopez, of course, as I mentioned earlier in the week, has officially been announced as host of The X Factor along with Khloe Kardashian. Cannot think of a less appetizing duo.
Mm-hmm. Excellent!
But it gets worse. He and his fiancée, Courtney Mazza, have signed a deal with TLC to exchange vows during a two-hour wedding special that is scheduled for December the 8th on TLC. Come on, TLC. You're running out of freaks. You really need the Mario Lopez wedding special?
I can't imagine he's a big enough star that people are going to tune in to watch his wedding.
But he's not a big enough train wreck that people would tune in to watch his wedding.
Yes.
Why would anyone watch that?
I can't imagine they will. The whole relationship has been one big look at me, however. He proposed to her on Extra.
Ugh.
Of course he did.
The Grove.
At the Grove?
The show he does called The Grove.
The Grove.
Over there that they film at that mall every day. He proposed to her there. And then at his bachelor party, Courtney, the fiance, showed up with the Pussycat Dolls and put on a show for him and his friends. Given his past, I think it's an excellent idea for her to stay very close to him during his bachelor party, however.
Oh, I see.
Remember Ali Landry?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
His previous fiance, who found out
that didn't
just
go
before
so well.
Their wedding that he was banging around before they ever got married.
Yeah.
Well, that Ali Landry, she's a pig. You can see why he's not cheating on her. Forbes, hey, here's a surprise. Forbes magazine has released a list of highly paid celebrities.
Wow.
What?
They do this weekly now?
It seems like it. This is their list of last year's biggest TV moneymakers. Interesting list. This is for the last season of television.
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling was not on television last season. Jim Parsons, Johnny Galecki, and Jason Segel all made $8 million apiece. That puts him in a tie for 10th place.
Okay. Wow.
Patrick Dempsey made $12 million for the last season of Grey's Anatomy. John Cryer made $13 million. Tim Allen made $14 million for that.
Tim Allen?
Last Man Standing TV show.
Really?
Yeah.
But most of that money still comes from his Home Improvement syndication money, though. Yeah. I mean, this is all their money they're making on television.
Alec Baldwin and Mark Harmon tied for 4th place with $15 million apiece. Hugh Laurie and Ray Romano are tied for 2nd. $18 million they made last year.
Wow.
Ray didn't even work last year, did he? Was that the Men of a Certain Age even on last year?
I think it was.
Yeah, but he made like $1.75 for that.
Yeah, right.
This was all rerun money, right?
And this was before his parenthood, so yeah, this must be Everybody Loves Raymond money.
Well, it could be Ice Age.
This is TV. Yeah. This is all TV money. Okay. Yeah.
$18 million last year for Ray Romano.
Yeah. You know what he does to earn that money? Walks to the mailbox.
Yep.
Or tells his guy to walk to the mailbox. Bring me that check, please. That one. You know that 14-pound check that's sitting in my mailbox? I'd like you to bring that to me.
If I made $18 million last year for things I used to do, I wouldn't be on Parenthood right now. I would have no incentive to want to get up and go to work.
I need to be on television. Look at me with my shaggy hairdo.
And Ashton Kutcher was the biggest moneymaker last year. $24 million.
Oh, my God.
For his Two and a Half Men work.
Thank God he came in and rescued that show.
That's right. He saved that. If Silver Sun Pickups fans, you'll be happy to know that he'll be appearing on television tonight on Up All Night. The cast, Christina Applegate, Will Arnett, Maya Rudolph, and Rob Hubel will... their characters will all be ending up at a show where the band is performing a track from their latest album, Neck of the Woods. So if you're a Silver Sun's pickup fan, you're going to want to check out that episode tonight.
I don't think so.
Come on. That lead singer with that fake voice he uses. It's very entertaining. I like that band.
Hey, everybody. How's it going tonight? You having fun in the show? Great. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I noticed that.
Yeah, all right. We're rocking here tonight. Thanks for having us here.
What's the matter? Sing with your voice. Sing with your real voice, God damn it. What's going on?
I like that guy.
Mel Gibson's got a new girlfriend.
Excellent.
38 years old. Her name is Ashley Cusate.
Now, Mel has a temper, but he better not F with this young lady. She has a brown belt in karate and is a stunt woman. Has worked as a stunt double for ladies like Jennifer Aniston and Denise Richards in the past. And the world is they're very much in love, and they just beat the snot out of each other on a nightly basis. I'm just saying. That's
I don't
thing.
Care.
You don't care?
What are you, a expert?
Yes, I am, actually. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Muggs, are you ready?
Here we go.
Are you ready, Muggs? Yep. You got your finger on the button?
Good luck, everybody. Tyler Posey of Teen Wolf is 21 years old today. Bristol Palin from Dancing with the Stars turns 22. Zac Efron. You remember him. He used to be that cute kid from that high school musical franchise. Remember that?
The one the Beatles would always go, "Oh,
my sweet Zac." He and the Silver Sun Pickups guy would sing a duet. He's 25 years old today. Frida Pinto from Slumdog Millionaire is 28 years old. Jean-Claude Van Damme, GCVD from Time Cop and The Expendables 2, 52 years old. Chuck Lorre from Two and a Half Men. And Mike and Molly, the creator, writer of those shows.
Hit it, Steve.
60. Where are you, Chuck?
I thought we were waiting for Chuck Berry.
Dude, it worked.
He is 60 years old. Don Wells of Gilligan's Island fame is 74 years old.
Where are you, Chuck?
No, her name is not Chuck, it's Don Wells. Singer, guitarist, one of the inventors of rock and roll, Chuck Berry, celebrates his 86th birthday today.
Come on. Where are you, Chuck?
And Hall of Fame football coach.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Hall of Fame football coach Mike Ditka turned 73 years old today. We used to have a guy who worked on this program named Money, Matt Money Smith, who now has a very popular show of his own on the AM dial. But he is a Chicago native, longtime Bears fan, and we had Coach Ditka on the show a few years back, and Matt was very excited to be able to talk to one of his idols.
Money, you want to say goodbye to him?
Thank you so much for everything, Coach. I really appreciate it. You've given me a wonderful life.
He's gone.
Darn.
He's
hung up.
He hung up.
That's so funny.
He didn't hang up on me. He hung up on you guys. You ruined my moment.
Hey, he got his plug in.
I really wanted you to have that moment with him.
Which makes me even better.
Yeah! He's a better guy than we thought.
That was a major fail. I mean, you guys, not that phone call.
How dare you?
In general. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Where are you, Chuck?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank God this one's almost over. It's been a rough day.
I hate all of you.
This one is not going into the time capsule. I'll tell you that.
Charlie, of history is where this one's going.
Charlie Sanchez from Los Angeles. Oh. A girl named Charlie, by the way, like on that Revolution show.
I don't like it. She has tattoos.
She won tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood Horror Nights. Of course, we're giving them away all week here on the World Famous Derek, which means our little friend Kat Corbett will have some for you coming up after 10. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I'm a big fan of Universal. You know, I do my show with Kevin Smith up there at the City Walk, and I enjoy their films. I enjoy the theme park and the tour there at Universal.
But
I think Hollywood Horror Nights is just inappropriate. There's a lot of kids up there on City Walk.
Horror.
And I think with all the whores walking around.
It's not whores.
I think people are going to be tempted to engage in prostitution,
it's
which
Halloween
is still illegal.
Night.
As far as
horror.
I'm concerned, it's
horror.
So Hollywood Horror Nights, I think,
horror.
Is just
horror.
What?
Not horror.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wouldn't it be great if it was Hollywood Horror Nights, though?
Yeah, it would be awesome, a whole different thing. A
bunch of streetwalkers just walking City Walk. And hey, want a good time? Hey, sailor, want a party?
That'd be awesome.
Speaking of hookers, you're not watching Sons of Anarchy, right, Ralph?
I have not caught up on all the new episodes, no.
They have had quite a plot line. Jimmy Smits is a character on the show now. He runs a prostitution ring there in Charming. And Ashley Tisdale is one of the girls.
What?
From the High School Musical. She's one of the hookers who has got a kind of a major role, kind of a major plot point.
She pulled it off?
I'd buy that for a dollar.
She's actually very good. Yeah, she's very popular on the horror circuit because she's young and pretty. But what a surprise! What a surprise casting that was. But well done, Kurt Sutter. Nice job.
Yeah. While we're talking about Universal, good news for them and good news for my friends behind the scenes, the creators and cast of the movie Ted has just been officially announced that Ted is now the highest grossing R-rated comedy of all time.
What?
Hi, how are you? How do you like me now?
Highest grossing
R-rated comedy of all
time.
Not original comedy.
Comedy. Wow. What?
Not original comedy.
What does that mean, not original?
Well, the reason I ask is I heard The Hangover 2 had been the previous record, but it was a sequel, but of movies that were original, not sequels. I heard that Ted was number one, but you're saying it's even surpassed that, and it's just all, owns the whole category now.
Yeah, it's the biggest R-rated movie ever.
That's it's the biggest movie I've ever been a part of, I got to tell you.
You were not part of
what?
It. You were not part of it.
Oh, I watched it.
Ted passed the $467 million total gross all time to become the biggest, highest grading R-rated comedy of all time. Just passed The Hangover. And so now it's number one.
You must be rolling in dough.
Congratulations to Seth and Alec and the guys who wrote and put that together, and Universal and everybody involved and all my buddies over there, Family Guy, who had a hand in. So I'm just saying, if any Hollywood producers are listening, Ralph Garman in movie equals highest rated R-rated comedy of all time.
You don't think it's Seth MacFarlane or the idea or the bear or the script?
I guess you, if you wanted to try to be all right, contrary and try to pick out other elements that could possibly have caused it, you could, but okay. I'm saying it would seem pretty picky even for you to try to do that when it was obviously the casting of a certain talented, swarthy young actor who made it all possible. So I'm just saying. Ralph Garman in movie, highest rated. Look, you know all those other R-rated comedies who aren't number one? You know what they have in common? No Ralph Garman. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, interesting.
He's a miracle worker.
You could have picked maybe Sam Jones, too. Maybe Flash Gordon had something to do with it. But other than that, I think it's us. Tragic, tragic news. Mark Sanchez and Eva Longoria are still dating. What's she doing with him? What's he with Mark Sanchez? For God's sakes. Apparently, they went on a double date this week with fellow New York Jets Scotty McKnight and his new girlfriend Hayden Panettiere.
Oh, there you go.
From Nashville. The quartet went to see the Broadway show Newsies. Oh, now I feel even worse for that. But apparently they had a good time, so congratulations. Robert De Niro, I heard you guys talking to Sylvester Stallone earlier today about his new film he's doing with Stallone.
Yeah.
Grudge Match, where they play two older retired boxers who get back in the ring for one final fight. Robert De Niro has to take a lesson from me. I've always said, make sure you clean out the lint trap of your dryer. Make sure you clean that out.
I've never heard you say
Kevin,
that.
Kevin, you know I'm constantly walking around saying, hey, how's your lint trap? I'm always asking people here at the station. I walk around, hey, good to see you. How's your lint trap doing?
I've not heard that. I thought that meant something else.
Have you checked your lint trap lately?
Oh, you thought that was code?
I did.
he didn't clean out his lint trap in his dryer. Buildup ensued. And you know what happens next?
Fire.
His apartment was located on the fifth floor, and it burnt to the ground.
It was located.
It was located. Yeah.
Wow.
It's expected to take 3 years to put the home back together. So meanwhile, Robert and his wife are currently trying to find a new place to live. Which, if you're Robert De Niro, I think you just have to knock on a door.
Yeah.
And you show up and go, a little bit. I want to live here. I want to live in your house. And they go, okay, just come in.
You want me to get out?
You scare me. I saw Cape Fear. I don't want you laughing in my movie theater. I don't want that guy around. Demi Moore is insanely jealous of Ashton Kutcher's new romance with Mila Kunis, according to friends. She is jealous, frustrated, and apparently going through a bit of a mental health crisis.
Well, she shouldn't have been so uptight and divorced him just because he cheated on her then.
All those times.
Others saying she was humiliated by the cheating scandal and now is not eating well, has some health issues. She's too thin. Struggling.
Well, he has come off pretty much unscathed from all of this.
I think it's even worse when you go through a bad breakup and then your significant other ends up with someone even hotter than you.
Yeah. And younger.
Yeah, probably.
And then you become the highest paid actor on television.
Yeah.
And poor Demi hasn't even been in a movie as long as I can remember.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a call-in topic in people who the next person your ex dated was like somebody famous or just somebody spectacular.
Just way better than you?
Way better than you. Just adds insult to injury, just to compound the damage. They ended up with somebody spectacular, and there you were just still being you. That would must suck. Tadoff Switler is in the news while we're talking about relationships. Of course, she famously stalked, and then there was a statutory rape with that Connor Kennedy, that young man she's been seeing.
I don't think it ever officially was identified.
Yeah. Yeah, she had a panel van and some Rolos. And she she lured him into the back of it off of the playground and had her way with him. But now...
He is a junior in high school, by the way. Let's all remember that she's 22 and he's a junior in high school. It is still
freshly
a little weird.
18 and she is 22. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, story has come out that in reality, she's had her eye on Patrick Schwarzenegger, son of the governor, and of course, Maria Shriver of the Kennedy family. And that's the one she really wants and has been using her friendship with Connor, who apparently is madly in love with her.
Are you just throwing names out every time you
talk to try to get his way to, Patrick Schwarzenegger. That's the one she really wants to hook
Why didn't
up
she
with.
Just go to him then?
Ah, good
She's
question.
She's famous enough. She could have met him if she wanted.
Because where's the fun if she doesn't destroy a whole family and ruin their lives? Where's
true.
The fun for Taylor Swift?
She has to
she
take down full lineages.
Because she is 666.
She is the beast.
Steve Carell made a lot of money on The Office, but not as much as others. Forbes magazine released their list of top TV moneymakers. For last year, he fell off the list after punting out of his show. But Ashton Kutcher, as we were talking about it, made the number one number on the list. $24 million he made last year with Two and a Half Men. That's ridiculous, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And more TV news. TNT has announced they're putting together a Frankenstein series. This based on the novels by best-selling author Dean Koontz. I didn't even know he had a series of Frankenstein books, but apparently in the novels, Victor Frankenstein is now living in New Orleans. Going under the name of Victor Helios, he is 200 years old, somehow managing to survive and thrive after creating his monster, who, by the way, also has moved with him to New Orleans. You think Dr. Frankenstein's like, really? Of all the places you had to move to, you had to follow me here?
I had the idea first.
Isn't it bad enough what we had to go through before with all the pitchforks and the torches and the villagers? Don't you think you could have moved to Camden, New Jersey, or someplace? You have to follow me here? So TNT putting that series together, and they're expecting big things because monsters are very popular right now.
Yes, sure.
People love monsters. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chuck Berry is 86 years old today. All right, never mind. Dawn Wells from Gilligan's
did
Island.
Did forget from
no.
last hour?
Of course you did.
No, it's up and ready to go. No, that was me. That was me. Sorry, my bad.
Dawn Wells of Gilligan's Island is 74 years old today.
Where are you, Chuck?
That has nothing to do with Dawn Wells. Nothing to do with it.
What's happening?
Mike Ditka, 73 years old today. Legendary coach of the Chicago Bears. Chuck Lorre from Two and a Half Men and Mike
Where
and
Where are you, Chuck?
There you go. He's 60 years old. Jean-Claude Van Damme turns 52. Frida Pinto is 28 years old. Zac Efron is 25. Bristol Palin turns 22. And Tyler Posey of Teen Wolf celebrates 21 years today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow we're going to have to watch our pal up there, Bean, as
what? What's the problem now?
Nichols is going to come to the studio.
Rachel right. Nichols.
Bean gets so creepy.
She's a delightful young actress.
We shouldn't.
She is.
We
just,
she's always so sweet.
She is, out. But you're so just oh, you just
so creepy.
Not at all. There's never been a creepy instance with me and Rachel there's Nichols, by the way. We've got along fine.
My girlfriend, Rachel Nichols. Why is the dollar falling?
He did ask
that. Let's recap that. Let's bring a little audio of that interview before we talk to her.
I don't think we need all of that.
Was she Slither or no?
No,
she was someone else. All right.
That was
Elizabeth Banks.
All
right. Rachel Nichols is going to be fine.
Yeah, I know she is. It's you I'm worried about.
I'm saying the interview is going to be fine.
Creepy alert.
Cousin Sal will be here with his NFL picks. We're also got the movie beat where you have author Dan Coyle, whose book is named The Secret Race, Inside the Hidden World of the Tour de France, Doping, Cover-Ups, and Winning at All Costs.
Ooh, sounds fascinating.
I'm not sure if that's the title of the whole book.
What's more exciting than bicycle racing?
Well, he better add a new chapter because it's going down around Lance Armstrong this week.
We also have Kathleen Robertson, who is on Boss, talking about that season finale.
She's great.
And Dale Hughley in studio. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.